Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024, 14 minutes past the hour. Beautiful morning out there this morning, but apparently heavy rain later on today. Telephone lines are open this morning. It's just you and me on the toll-free line this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, I hope everybody enjoyed the program yesterday. I had a lot of fun with that. We kind of recounted the events with Mary Ellen Withrow last week, which was a lot of fun, celebrating her 30th anniversary. And we played one of those events yesterday, the one at River Valley, which, you know, it's funny. As I was saying yesterday, when you are a part of an event like that, you really don't, and we did it five times, but you really don't take it all in because you're a part of it. You're worried about doing your part. You're making sure everybody else does their part. You're paying attention to the audience. You're meeting people, so on and so forth. So to actually yesterday be able to hear it back as a listener, you know, I have to say myself, it was a pretty good show. And that speech that Mary Ellen gave, which was the speech she gave 30 years earlier at the swearing-in ceremony for Treasurer of the United States, what a speech that was. For those of you who got to hear that yesterday, it's about a four-minute speech. It's not very long at all. But the end of that speech, well, there are two points in that speech that I really like. Number one, you can't wait for the right time to do something. If you wait for the right time to do something, it's never going to happen. Now, in her case, that's running for office. In other people's cases, it's other things. But if you're waiting for the right time for it to happen, it's not going to happen. And in Mary Ellen's case, it's very interesting because she did not start in politics till she was 39 years old. 39. You know, that's pretty far along, especially in those days, to be starting in politics. And she often said last week, as we were going around to the schools, what if those two ladies from the, I think they were teachers at Elgin at the time, if those two teachers had not come down to her and said, you need to run for school board, where would she have ended up? Because she doesn't believe she ever would have run for office because she had no interest in doing that. And 25 years later, she was the Treasurer of the United States. So kind of what I wanted to talk about here this morning was, has there ever been a pivotal point like that in your life where you thought, well, I never thought about that, but it's, you know, I've got four kids at home. Mary Ellen had four kids at home at that time. They were not very old, and she had a husband. But she thought, well, maybe this should be something. And look what it led to. Elgin School Board led to Marion County Treasurer, led to Treasurer of the State, led to Treasurer of the United States. So has there ever been a pivotal moment in your life where you thought, do I have the time to do this? And even if I fail, I mean, you can always fail. Certainly in Mary Ellen's case, it turned out great. But she could have lost those elections. She might not have won. And certainly might not have gone as far as she did. But is there a pivotal moment in your life where maybe I don't have the time, maybe I normally would not do this, but I should? Because who knows where it will lead. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And then the other part of the speech, and I don't have the speech memorized, so I won't be able to quote this exactly right, but it's the end of the speech when she talks about moments of her life being like a stream going down a river, and how some of those moments stick out very vividly, and some of those moments don't. And, you know, isn't that the way with all our lives? Isn't that such a great line? How there are some moments that seem like a big deal at the time, but really they don't mean a whole lot. And in the grand scheme of things, they just kind of blend in with everything else, and you really don't think much about them anymore. But there are some moments that stand out clear as a bell for the rest of your life. I'm trying to think of the line that she used in the speech. I think it was clear and whole. I wish I had the speech in front of me, but there are some moments that are just crystal clear that you never forget, no matter how long ago they happen. And I think that's a great, great speech. So my question this morning is, was there ever a pivotal moment in your life where you thought, I should do this, I don't have time to do it, it really isn't going to make my life any easier, but I know I should do it because there's the potential here for something great? And that's the story of Mary Ellen's life, and could be the story of anybody's life. It all started for her back in 1969. So again, the phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. And again, we played the clips from the Women's Club yesterday, the Women's Club event on Saturday night that I attended with Carrington. And of course, our very own Linda Sims did win the Female Performance Award that night, and couldn't be happier for Linda. But gosh, the fun we had. And that's one of those moments. There are so many moments lately, and I kind of wanted to talk about that this morning. Here at the station, I have no idea what kind of ride we have been on, really, since November, but something has been going on, and I don't know if that's divine intervention. I really don't know what it is, but it started with election coverage, which got great attention around here, and then it went into Christmas, where we lit the Christmas trees for Marion. And we lit the Christmas tree in Caledonia, and we had the biggest turnout we've ever had for the fruitcake toss. And then there was Scott Spears Day, which that was very nice, and I appreciate that. And then we went into January, and we had the Groundhog Day event with Miss Ohio, and that got national attention through the AP. And then we rolled on to the Mary Ellen Withrow events, which got national attention and front page of the paper. And I don't know what's been going on here. All I can say is that I thank you all for listening, and I thank anybody who has listened and paid attention to this station, because we've got a lot of great stuff going on here, and really, I don't know where it'll stop. It seems to keep coming, and what a great thing that is. It's fun to get up every morning and see what's going to happen. And also, again, I do credit a lot of this with the people we've got around here, because there have been so many people who've been involved in so many events around here. The whole staff, I mean, look at Linda. She won the event on Saturday, and she's been with us at most of these events. And, of course, Pastor Craig coming back last summer and also participating in the Mary Ellen Withrow events last week and the Groundhog Day events and the fruitcake toss and things of that nature. And then Carrington and Matt, who have pretty much been at everything participating. It's just really fascinating. And we all were involved election night. All of us were involved doing things. Adam keeps the website up and running so everybody can listen to the programs if they happen to miss them. Sean and Terry, Sean comes around and takes all the pictures and all the video. And it's a really, really happy family. Plus, just on a normal week, we all get together and do our shows and have a great time. And I think Jessica Hauser will be back this Friday doing her bit on Friday. And of course, I like Jessica. She was in Jamaica last week, so she was not on with us, but it'll be great to have her back this Friday. So we're thankful to you, the listeners, and that always needs to be said, because Without you, I don't know where we'd be, but we're having a good time right now. 53 degrees and mostly sunny skies here in Marion. The question this morning, was there ever a pivotal moment in your life where you thought, I don't know if I can do that, I don't know if I have the time to do it, but I probably should do it? It may lead to bigger things. Has there ever been a person in your life who has come in and changed your life? You know, with Mary Ellen, I think she says it was those two teachers in the Elgin School District, those two female teachers who came down and asked her to do this. I think those pivotal moments are very, very, very important. 740-751-4038. The phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. And also, I will tell you this. I've been around Marion a long time, and I have studied Marion a long time. I don't know that there has ever been an event dealing with Marion history like the events we had last week for Mary Ellen. To get national attention, to get the front page of the Star, to have 2,500 people show up in the schools in 2 days, I don't know if there's ever been an event like that, period. I really, really don't. If it has, I certainly don't remember it. And I would also like to say, I don't think I mentioned this, but Friday morning at Kingston, they had Withrow waffles. Now, Withrow waffles are the waffles that that was a recipe card that Mary Ellen Withrow used to pass out when she was running for office. And on Friday morning, the residents of Kingston all had Withrow waffles. So, you know, from top to bottom, it was just fun. The whole thing was fun. Now, this leads us to a whole nother point, because Matt and Carrington and I now want to have Withrow waffles. Now, I don't know how we're going to do this. There's a whole thing about this right now, that are we going to do it in the studio as an event? Like, let's try Withrow waffles. Let's try to make them on air for people, show people how easy it is. Then there was the idea of, are they going to come over to my house and we're going to try it in my kitchen to make Withrow waffles? I don't know. I've only made Withrow waffles one time. And I can tell you this, I don't even know if I can qualify it as me making Withrow waffles, because we did it at school when Mary Ellen came in last year. And I remember Mary Ellen was mixing the stuff up, and I'm pretty sure Abby brought the waffle iron in, because you've got to have a waffle iron. And I don't know. I can't say that I made them, because I don't remember touching them, to be honest with you. So I don't think I was in on that. I do think I tasted them, if I remember right. So this whole Withrow waffle making could be quite interesting as time goes on. But that's where that is right now. And as I wanted to say again, the Turn Up the Heat dance on Saturday night was a lot of fun. So glad to see Linda win the Female Performance Award. And if you listened to the program yesterday, you kind of got to hear Carrington and I reporting from that event. And you can just see the fun that we have together in an unscripted environment. And it was fun. And sometimes you just have to have a good time. All right. Now, what else is on the agenda here today? You know, I wrote something down here this morning, and now I have no idea what it means. I wrote down March the 2nd. Oh, I know what that's about. Now it just sprung in my head. I'll come back to that in just a second. I did say I got my Studebaker radio in the mail. This was a long, long process. Now, I didn't think it was going to be mailed out until March the 12th. That's what it said. But it has shown up. I still have not had a chance to take it out of the box. But when I do, I'm going to report back on this green Studebaker radio and tell you how much I'm going to enjoy this. Always a fan of broadcasting in any medium. Now, I want to say this. You know, we've had very nice weather the last couple days. Have you noticed that people have been in a nasty mood? What is that? I've been out in the public the last 2 days, and let me just tell you, people have not had the best moods. Now, I don't know what that is. Does anybody know what's going on with people's moods? Why are people so ill-tempered when the weather is nice? We're having 70-degree days in March, early March. Why are people in such a bad mood? They're very, I don't know what you would call it. They're very short-tempered and no patience and more than normal. It's very odd. I don't know. Does anybody have any idea what's bringing all that out? Again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I don't know what's been causing this mood change, but boy, it is a nasty one that's going on. Now, this really brings us to the big subject here this morning, this eclipse. Well, how close are we to this eclipse, this once-in-a-lifetime solar eclipse? What is it, the 8th? Monday the 8th? Yeah, Monday the 8th, coming up here just a few short weeks away. Okay, I've got some things to say about this. Now, I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know if the streets are going to be filled. I don't know. But it seems to me that people are making up stories or embellishing stories. I really don't know which it is because I'm not digging that deep into it. But what is going on with this solar eclipse? Now, I understand Marion is right in the line for the solar eclipse. I get that. But what is the big draw here? 3 minutes is my understanding at 3-something in the afternoon. 3 minutes. And we're talking that people are not going to be able to get through town, that the traffic is going to be so thick that we can't get through town because of this. And here's what I'm also confused by. Because here's the things that I keep hearing. I keep hearing things like, you know, you're not going to be able to get to the grocery store. You're not going to be able to navigate towns. Okay, if that's true, how are people going to get to work? You know, there's not going to be much chance of going into a grocery store or a restaurant if people can't get to work if the traffic is so thick. So you can shut down the schools and you can shut down the local offices, but how's anybody going to get to work to serve these people if nobody can be on the roads? I don't understand that. Another thing I don't understand about this, first I heard that people were renting spots in their fields for $100 for people to park in. Okay, let's say that's true. Then I saw yesterday where somebody was saying they were renting spots in their field for $500 a spot for people to park their cars in. Now, first off, isn't that price gouging? I mean, honestly, is a spot in a field worth $500? I mean, I have a hard time believing that a spot in a field is worth $100. Now, forget the fact that you're doing that. Number two, are you going to have a porta potty out there? Do you have plumbing in that area? Because if you're bringing people in and you're parking them in a field, car to car to car to car, they're not going to be able to pull away, and they're not going to pull away because they've paid $100 and $500 for parking. So where are they going to go to the restroom? I mean, you've created a whole problem for yourself out there in the field that I don't think you want to deal with. So I don't understand that. And I also don't understand, okay, let's say the grocery stores are going to be packed and restaurants are going to be packed. Well, what would stop these people from driving down to the parking lot of a grocery store or a restaurant and parking in that parking lot? That's free. And you're going to be close to a restroom. You're going to be close to a place where you can get food. What's going to stop you from parking there? And then again, if those parking lots are all filled up, where are the people who work there going to be parking? I don't understand any of this. And then I've been hearing rumors that Bill Collins, our mayor, is going to shut down downtown. And again, that's just a rumor that I'm hearing. But what would be the purpose of that? I really don't understand that. I mean, you can't stop people from driving downtown unless you block off the roads. I don't think that's the idea. I think it's just shutting down what's going to go on downtown. I'm not sure why would you want to shut down downtown if this is going to be such a big commerce event? You know, all about the money. So I don't understand it. I mean, can anybody explain this solar eclipse to me and why people are doing this stuff? This is turning in, you know, I said this not too long ago. I think this is turning into one big money-making proposition. And I don't understand it. I really don't. If anybody has any thoughts on this, give me a buzz here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, can you believe if you have some acreage and you're renting out spots for $500 a pop or $100 a pop? And how are you advertising this to people? How are you selling these spots? How are you reserving these spots? Maybe I'm just on another planet. I don't understand any of this. Can somebody explain any of this to me? And has anybody heard any truth to the rumor that Bill Collins is closing down downtown Marion? I don't think the county's closing down. I haven't heard that rumor. So does anybody have any ideas on any of this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Everybody still asleep out there this morning? Or maybe you're out enjoying this nice weather. Now, that could be, because it certainly is nice weather here the last couple days in Marion before the cooler weather kind of subsides back in the next couple days and rain, I guess. That's the little weather signal I'm getting here right now, that rain is coming. So you'll have to be ready for that. But I don't understand the solar eclipse thing. You know, I don't even understand the idea of it, to be honest. 3 minutes, and it's April. There is a really good chance that it could be overcast that day, and you're not going to see anything. And it's also my understanding, I think some people think it's going to be pitch dark. Now, I don't think it's going to be pitch dark. I don't think that's what happens during a solar eclipse. I think it gets dark like a cloudy dark. And then you can see what's going on. You can see the moon pass in between the sun and the earth. You know, that sort of thing. But I don't think it gets pitch dark. It's not like night. I don't think that's the thing. So what is the hysteria with this? And is this really going to cause the problem that people are making it out to cause? I really don't know. It is so confusing to me. I've never heard of an event like this that people are so paranoid about before it happens. And I don't know why on a Monday we'd be shutting everything down. And do we have any type of entertainment for these people? Are you going to even be allowed to have entertainment for these people if everything's shut down? I have no idea. All I know is I don't think you should be charging people $100 or better yet, $500 for a spot in a field to watch an eclipse. I think that's a little price gouging, in my opinion. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I got the solution to everything.
What's that?
Well, you led me astray about Taylor Swift. And I called her up, and she said she'd be willing to come out here. And I've got acreage here, 12 acres, and I'm only charging $5,000 to park per car. And she's kind enough to said she didn't know it until a little fairy come along and said, "Hey, Taylor, would you be able to sit on the sliver of the moon and we would have Pocus Revue down here? She said, well, certainly. So she's going to sing, and the visibility and the angle, I had astronomers and stuff to check it all out before I advertised it, and they said it's going to be a great situation, the way your property's setting and up on a little knoll, and the weather don't make any difference because we're going to have speakers and stuff that they can still hear Taylor Swift. How does that sound,
Scott? Well, I tell you, if you have Taylor Swift out there, then you would be able to charge $5,000 a pop because people will follow her anywhere. But, you know,
and then you know how you pronounce that for the football game, that it would be so crowded and packed, and the people, you know, that was in the press box windows and stuff like that, what they was paying for a seat. So I think that she just said to me, she said that I've recuperated from all the things that I was doing at the football game, and it was a great turnover for the population of the United States of America, and she don't see no reason why she isn't going to follow through with this. So,
well, you know,
I don't know whether I'm going to ring the bell on that right now until I get a comment from you.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, if you bring her in, I think you could do it. But to me, because here's the idea. 3.5 minutes is really what we're talking about. These people are coming for 3.5 minutes. Now, it seems, I understand people want to make money. I get that. But it just seems like $100 for a spot in a field with no toilet. I mean, that I think people are using this as a money-making venture, and I'm not sure that is the best idea in the world. I don't know. It just seems a little strange to me that just because you have some acreage that let's gouge people. And I even saw it up to $500 yesterday.
Downtown, things that go on down there, all the empty lots around there charge $5 to $10, maybe $15 for some of the attraction brought into Marion. So that isn't too bad.
No. Now, $5 to $10, $15, I could even see $20. I could say, well, that'd be okay. But out in a field where it could be raining, April showers, no bathrooms anywhere near, no porta potties.
It's a small word, but it means a lot.
Especially because I imagine you're going to have to get there early. And I also was talking with somebody yesterday, and I said, you know, they keep saying the grocery stores and the restaurants are going to be overrun. Well, if the parking lots are that full and the roads are that full, how are the employees going to get there?
Well, that's the way it goes. How about talking a little more sensitive than that? Let's talk about, what do you want to talk about, Scott?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm still coming off of the events last week. I had such fun with those events from Saturday night and Linda winning the turn up the heat.
You all got fulfilled of your dream there. So, yeah, that was A-OK for y'all.
Well, it was. And you know, the interesting thing about the events we did with Mary Ellen last week is that it's still resonating. I still had people coming up with me yesterday talking about those events and what that meant to people. I don't know why that touched such an emotional chord with such people. I would not have expected that, but it did. And I'm glad it did.
Well, it was with the school system. There was a lot of children that got very much knowledge from that event that took place because they didn't know nothing about it. But that was the greatest part I could see about it, that they did. And she was kind enough to go around with the ability to know the meaning that it is to young people. So I thought that was it. That was our kind of mode, that young people that was involved in what made it turn out great.
Well, and I will tell you, as I said yesterday, and I think it bears repeating, that when we were at Pleasant, and you had 750 people packed in there, and most of these kids were born after Mary Ellen had left office, and
right.
for them to stand up for her, standing ovation, you know, there was just something to that brought a lot of emotion through that room, and
well,
I think.
School, Scott. Been around, they've been to big events and stuff, and when somebody popular as Mary Ellen in the and the thing that she talked to them about stuff, they would be. That's part of tradition in the United States of America, is stand up and give a standing ovation to a good person.
Well, unfortunately, I can't say some of the other schools did that, so maybe they didn't get the memo about standing up when it was over.
Well, I wouldn't single out nobody from everything. At least they was invited and accepted to their school, regardless what the invocation was. So,
you know,
anyhow, I thought it was pretty nice too, Scott. But the weather's going to look nice. Here this morning, I've been out and I come in, and then I heard that the possibility last night that it was going to be raining today. So there goes the rain thing here. But it didn't say exactly where. It didn't say exactly where. And when that radar comes down and when that eclipse comes along, well, seeing is believing, correct?
Now, do you believe that all these things that we're hearing, I think it was even in the newspaper yesterday, about all these problems we're supposed to have with parking and traffic and so on and so forth?
I don't take the paper, and I never seen a paper. And matter of fact, when you get on the word about a paper, I went around purposely, even though I thought the possibility of getting a Marion Star would be easy. And I was up early the other morning, and after I heard that she was on the front page of the paper, and I went to a couple places, and they said, no, the Marion Star, after they're there and deliver the paper, and the ones that's any left over or anything, if there were any, that they take them away from the shelf and they put the new paper in. That isn't like the old days. They used to kind of, you go down along the bottom and you could find a paper that you wanted for something pertaining to you, maybe not a big event like that, but something pertaining to yourself that you wanted to get out of the Marion Star. So, yeah. The accessibility of getting news out of the Marion Star is a pretty tough situation. Yeah.
Well, it is, and you know, the sad thing is that, of course, we were so busy on Friday. Now, we did get a couple papers, but we were so busy on Friday doing these events that we did not get the number of papers that we needed to get, because when I ran into Mary Ellen on Saturday at the dance event, she wanted a certain number of papers. Well, the papers had already, as you say, they're whisked away pretty fast. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody bought a whole lot of those papers or something, but hopefully we can find a few more somewhere.
Yeah. Here's the main thing. I used out there to the women's club, and after everybody made their performances and the divisions that people won in, and Linda Sims getting into her thing, did you afterwards accommodate her and ask her for a dance?
You know, I did not. Well, here's why. Because Linda's husband was there.
I say you did not.
I did not. You're right.
It's just chopped off there. It just did not. There can't be an excuse. She's only 10 feet from her, so getting the thing, I don't know why. But go ahead with your excuse.
Well, no, here's. I don't know if. I think it's more a truth than excuse, but we'll go down the route of excuse. Her husband was there, and also her dance partner was there, and I also think her daughter was there. So she was kind of around a whole bunch of people. We didn't get to her for about 10 minutes until after the award was presented. I will also say, me dancing would not, well, in front of a group of people, that would not be something anybody would want to see. I don't think so.
I think you put your arm, one arm around and the other arm holding the hand, and that isn't too hard to do, and just kind of move your feet. And Linda Sims, knowing her through living in Marion all her time, she would be able to, instead the man usually led, but today's age, the women can lead. And she would take care of you and whisper in your ear, let's go left, let's go right. And you'd say, well, which one of my feet's left and right? I can understand that too, Scott.
You know that this... Well, no, this is an interesting point you bring up, though, because, of course, the people who were dancing as a part of the competition, yeah, they danced. But there was a portion when the event was over where if people wanted to get up and dance, they could. And you know what was it?
Vince, yeah, it wasn't singled out. No dancing with the performers, nothing like that. But
no.
I just thought maybe you would. And so I got the answer, okay.
Well, no, but it was interesting that not many people in that room, and it was a sold-out crowd, really got up and danced at the end. I was kind of surprised by that. There maybe were, I don't know, 20 people I saw who got up and danced at the end. But the majority of people who were there with their husbands and wives and whatever, I did not see those people getting up and dancing. There was maybe 15, 20 people who were doing a little bit of line dancing there at the end. But everybody else, I never saw dance a bit. So I was in the majority of people who weren't dancing.
I was a seventh grader in junior high, and I never, my family would never went to those kind of things and stuff like that. My sister, that just didn't go like that. But I was an athlete during that period of time, and I went to that function, and this one girl was very popular in Marion and stuff. She came over and she said, "Ted, would you like to have a dance?" And I said, "Yes." And I was just sitting there like a bump on the wall, you know. And that was one of the most thrilling times of my life. She was a tall girl, and I looked her right in the eye, and she was a blonde, good-looking gal. And she was, I always remember that. And that was my first dance with a girl in my life. And I'm no dancer, but if they want to dance, we can twist and turn and do whatever you want to. It's just... it'll come natural if you get out there and the music's playing.
You know, I did want to ask you this morning, though, because from the Mary Ellen events, the one thing, as I said, I took away from this was there comes a moment in everybody's life where I don't have time to do that. It may not be the easiest thing to do, but I'm going to try it. And that was really how her career got started. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you thought, this isn't going to be easy, maybe it's not going to be quick, but I need to try it?
Yeah, it's every moment in my life, and here I am going on 83. Every moment in my life's been like that, and it's no kidding. If it's high or low, every moment of my life, that I will do it and do it. They always said one thing about me: if you ever get in a fight with Ted, you're going to have to kill him because he don't give up. He'll get back up and fight, and that's the kind of thing. I don't mean fist cuff and stuff all the time, but I never give up. I never will give up. I don't know. I'm glad I got that, and you acquire that on your own. But every moment of my life, that it don't take very much to find that out. In the workplace, walking down the street, there's always a moment that you say, "Hey, that's a good time. Hey, that's a bad time."
It was interesting on Friday, because when we were driving Mary Ellen out to Elgin, we passed by her old house that she was living in when she was asked to run for Elgin School Board. And also, just up the road, we passed by the house that these teachers lived in who encouraged her to run for the Elgin School Board. And the houses were maybe, you know, 30 yards apart. And she said, honestly, and she was honest, she said, "If they had not come down and asked me to do that, I don't think I would have done it, because it wasn't on my mind to do anything like that. And if I had not done that, highly unlikely the rest of it would have happened." So I think that's interesting. I mean, I think that you never know. I guess the question really is, do you take the opportunities when they come to you, even though they might not be easy?
Yeah, and that's the way with you there at the dance the other night. You
had the I missed the opportunity.
Yeah.
It blew right by me. I don't know what to say about that. Blew on right by me.
I'm glad everything worked out for you, Scott, because that's part of your life and a great amount of your life, and the way you live and stuff, it is the only part of your life right now that you really have got a secure hold on, that you feel and you live, and that is very nice. I'm proud of you that you enjoyed that, and you had a good team working with you, but Mary Ellen was one of the top ones to work with. She's a very nice woman, and I've said it before, she's just got a super personality, and she's easy to work with.
I think that's exactly right. But you know, I will say this. What's interesting is that being an interesting part of the life, you know, doing this and so on and so forth. There are so many other things going on the outside, but you really don't. Here's what I learned in the last year. I used to talk a lot about things going on personally on the air, and I'm not sure that that was necessarily the best thing to do, because I think some people took that personally in a way over the years. If I would also start to say, well, it didn't work out. So I don't know. Yeah, I just talk less about it now. But certainly the career is going very well. But also the other things are going well, too. I have a lot of fun in life in general. Like, I'll give you an example. This is something I normally wouldn't talk about. But Sunday night, you know, I told you what happened last week with Mary Ellen. I told you what happened Saturday at the Turn Up the Heat dance. But Sunday night, I had a great get-together at my house. Had nothing to do with work. People were over. We laughed. We had a good time. It was impromptu. You know, things are good on all levels.
Well, sure they are. And you being that and having people over at your house, that was a good intent on your part. And you enjoyed it, and you invited them, and there you enjoyed it as well as they did. So you're a good host.
I hope so. You know, we seemingly had a good time, and it was people of all different ages, and we just had a great time. And I that's one thing I'll tell you, and that's a conversation to have one day. I'm afraid that people are losing things like that face-to-face conversation where you get together, because we're so into the cell phones and the texting and all that. I don't know if we're doing that enough.
You got to remember, Scott, people are not losing that. They never had it. They never was taught, and they wasn't around people. And a large part of the cliques and the cults and all the things you've mentioned on your show and stuff over the years, they haven't had the opportunity to know, and they haven't been around people that know that and to teach them. You don't learn that stuff in school and walking down the street. You got to be around and associate with people like that. My mother always said, birds of a feather flock together. So,
right.
She might say that, but buddy, I've seen birds of a feather around here, living in the country here 30 years, that, you know what? They don't get along too good. There's a lot of feathers on the ground, I see, that they have some pretty bad quarrels. And haven't you heard the, how about, I call them turtle doves when I was a little kid, turtle doves, but the dove, have you heard him cooing every morning, right through your windows of your house? Boy, they're loud this year.
They are. And there's one more thing I wanted to bring up, because I think this is an interesting thing that we all go through. When I was at the event on Saturday night, the dance event, you know, I saw a lot of people that I knew. And of course, when you see people, you know, you walk up, shake their hand, how you doing, so on and so forth. And what's interesting, I had this, and I, you know, I'm not going to bring up who it was because it's a person somebody would know, but this person came up to me, and when it happened, I thought, you know, that was a little cold. That was a little, I mean, they did come up and say hello, but it was very cold feeling. So I leaned over to Carrington, and I said, what did you think of that? Did you think that was odd? And they said, you know, that was a little cold, but I let it go. I thought, okay. So yesterday I brought it up to another person, and I said, who knew the person? I said, does that sound like them? Does that sound normal? And they said, no, that sounds very cold. And, you know, but I guess when you're in a social setting like that, some people just, I guess it's that phony veneer that you get from people when you're out in public. We're all having a good time, and everybody wants to have a good time, so I think people feel obligated to come over and shake your hand. I think is more what it is.
Well, you know, yeah, that's called the proper thing. That's what everybody's doing in that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But one thing about it, I've learned, and I've learned a lot. I've been around a lot of people in my life. I've worked some big businesses here in Marion, and around a lot of people, And once you've learned somebody, I've been told myself when I was working on the railroad, they said, hey, Ted, don't be offended with the engineer that you're working with. And I said, why? And they said, well, he's one of the toughest ones to ever get to talk to, Renee, so don't feel bad. I said, okay. So I went up there. I never had 1 minute's trouble. And they said, what in the name of you guys talking about up there? I said, I don't know, just everything. you said he was hard to get along with. I didn't find that anything. But getting back to the story of what I've found out, everybody's got their own thing. That's why on Earth there's no two people alike. And once you learn that person, that's their character. That's the way they've been younger, and they grew up, and they grew up, and that's the way they still are. Maybe mellow out a little bit more, but once you learn them, they're very, very good people, and they've been led astray somewhere in their life, childhood, or whatever it may be. But once you learn that person, people shun them and talk like you do. It's very cold because you're shaking a hand. I've shook hands with very strong men, and it's just like a little 5-year-old holding your hand, a limp shake, you know. I'd rather not get a shake than a limp shake. But some of the young people, I say, hey, young man, when you get a hold of a man's hand and shake it, get a firm grip and put it down there. That's the American way to do that. But I was just blowing steam. And then, you know what? They said, I never thought of it that way. Well, they took a hold of me and gripped my hand. They said, how's that? I said, that's the American hand.
There we go.
But we don't do much handshaking. We want to hug. We want to shake. I'm not a hugger and a shaker on a male, female, anything. I might once in a blue moon on a certain occasion or something. But this,
you're listening to the Talking Points from Charlie Evers.
They can just take that, wrap it up in the sack, walk on. I like the American handshake and adios, and that's good, you know.
And here comes the break. Thanks for calling.
All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.